Thank you for making Locked On Spartans your first listen every single day here on the Locked On Podcast Network, free and available where you find folks get your podcast. Also, today's episode is brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. On today's episode, Jaden Reed is back, baby. Back, that's right. And also, back in our lives is Michigan State basketball as they take on Nebraska tonight. And then, are Keon Coleman and Malik Carr really going to be playing basketball for Michigan State this winter? Let's go.
You are Locked On Spartans, your daily podcast on the Michigan State Spartans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Friends, family, Spartans, fellow disciples of the Church of Jaden Reed, welcome to another episode of Locked On Spartans. That's right, baby, your team every single day. How on earth are you doing? I am doing quite peachy, I gotta say. Vacation is over for yours truly. I'm back in the home office and a little upsetting, touching down back at slush and cold skies and 30-degree weather, but when you turn your phone on to the news that Jaden Reed is returning, every day's a sunny day, no matter where you are. So, welcome to another episode. Thank you so much for making Locked On Spartans your first listen every single day. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And if you have any questions, which we will be getting to one to end the show, LockedOnSpartans@gmail.com is the place to find me for all football, basketball, life questions. Honestly, a lot of people just want to get stuff off their chest about the Spartans. And the LockedOnSpartans@gmail.com inbox, very therapeutic, and we always have listening eyes as I read each and every email. So thank you for anyone and everyone that sends emails our way. On today's episode, just like we said, Jaden Reed coming back to Michigan State. And this is what we ended yesterday's episode on, is of course after Naylor, Kevin Jarvis, and Drew Beasley, I also said Panishuk, I knew that wasn't right, Drew Beasley announced they were leaving. There's some names that are still out there, and Jaden Reed, of course, was the biggest name that had not announced what he was going to do after the Peach Bowl. I said, listen, like, kind of like Naylor, I think that Reed is who he is as far as draft stock. He's an awesome player. Of course, we think the world of him. No doubt about it. How can we not? He was the hero in, three, four games this season? Yeah, the guy was dynamite. However, with that said, what does coming back next year do for his draft stock? Because his biggest, quote-unquote, weakness is, he's only 6 feet tall. He doesn't have the most physical frame. Can you really build on that next year? I don't seem to think so. But it also doesn't matter what I think, because the fact of the matter is, Jaden Reed's coming back next year, baby. That's right. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee. And this is a reason why I didn't completely just shut the door on him coming back yesterday. So this might sound familiar if you listened to the end of yesterday's show. But yeah, just like we said, how much does he grow his draft stock? Don't know. Quite frankly, as of now, I don't care, and neither do a lot of people. It's probably this being the number one reason, is the fact that he is going to be the guy on campus next year. Arguably between football and basketball too, which is, that's always a tough race to win over in East Lansing when both teams are doing absolutely incredible. But listen, you think Michigan State next year, you think student athletes, Jaden Reed's probably going to be on the top of your mind. I think it's either going to be Peyton Thorne as the fan favorite or Jaden Reed as the fan favorite. Little known fact, high school teammates. But I'm going to give the nod to Jaden Reed here because, like I just said, he was the hero in the Nebraska game. He was a hero in the Michigan game. He was the hero in the Penn State game and the hero again in the Peach Bowl. Fans love him. He's an electric player, dynamite player, best player on offense going into next year now. And I think knowing that, and also NIL, getting that sweet money might help too. Kenneth Walker starting to get a good handful of endorsements. Maybe he's heard wind of the money behind that, enough to sway him into staying at Michigan State instead of going to the NFL draft, despite this being his fifth year in college coming up. People forget, I forgot for most of the season that, he did start his career at Western Michigan. I don't think a lot of people forgot that. He did have to sit out that year after because the transfer rules were all wonky and whatnot back then. But it would have been very understandable to see him go. But also, I do see the reasoning in coming back. No doubt about it. So, yes, Jaden Reed, the man, the myth, the legend, walking around East Lansing next year as he comes off a season with over 1,000 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns. And, of course, goes without saying, here's the most obvious thing. Coming back as one of the best Big Ten receivers in the conference next year. Of course, I think he's the best. You probably think he's the best. But I'm not necessarily going to argue that after Jackson Smith. Oh, God, I always screw up his last name. JSN went off for over 300 yards in the Rose Bowl. And that's not an exaggerated number, because sometimes I'll exaggerate numbers on here as a bit. What JSN did in the Rose Bowl, okay, Jaden Reed is part of the discussion for best conference receiver, but that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about what this means for Michigan State, other than, well, okay, having one of the most dynamic offensive playmakers in the Big Ten coming back. It softens the blow of Kenneth Walker and Jalen Naylor not coming back. Doesn't not, and all the obvious things are right in front of us, but maybe one that we don't really think about is kind of helps the run game, I think. Now, it's not the perfect fix for the run game. No, it's not what I mean. But what I mean by that is, well, after watching the Peach Bowl, the Kenneth Walkerless Peach Bowl, and yes, well, the Pitt Panthers did have a pretty damn good run defense all season, you still saw that Michigan State could use some help, any help they need in the run game. And I'm not just talking about, you know, Reed's jet sweeps or anything like that. It's also, well, assuring that you're not having teams load the box against the Michigan State Spartans, because you have a guy like Reed, but also it can't always just be one guy that softens the cushion for the run game. It's because Reed's also going to be paired with guys like Keon Coleman, who can be great, who probably will be great at some point in his career. Will that some point be next year, though? Oh, stay tuned. Montori Foster, same thing. A little bit of flashes this year where we got to see him play and flex his talent. He'll, without saying, he'll get more next season. Trey Mosley, he's always steady Eddie out there in the wide receiver room. And oh yeah, that's right, Malik Carr also coming along out there. If you can get big jumps from Keon Coleman, Montori Foster, and Malik Carr, it might not even matter who your running back is. You might just have a solid run game on default with those passing weapons around you, and throw on top a solid polished guy like Peyton Thorne on there. Okay. You're going into next year with the offense that you feel pretty okay about, even though the running game leaves some questions. And Michigan State's not done in the transfer portal, perhaps, in the run game as well. Yes, they have former four-star Jalen Berger coming in next year. But, yeah, you feel really good about how Michigan State's offense is sitting next year just because one player announces he's returning. Because if Reed isn't coming back next year, we are having quite a different conversation here where we might have our finger hovering over the panic button. I don't know if I'd hit it, but it'd be lightly grazing it, just being ready to be hit upon should they not score a touchdown in the first quarter to open up the season against Western Michigan next year. But hey, we don't got to panic because Jaden Reed is coming back, baby. So, and hopefully you come back for the next segment here, as we're going to break down the Michigan State-Nebraska game that will be played in front of the Izzo alumni. But first, need to talk to you fine folks about Built Bar. Hopefully all the Izzo members tonight have some Built Bar rolling into the game. A lot of energy for us old folk. That's right. Guys, it's the new year, and so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit, I know mine is, after 7 straight days of eating like an idiot and drinking. Anyway. Make sure you include Built Bar in that plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or in my opinion, even better than a candy bar. And they make it easier for everyone to stick to their New Year's resolution. I know I'll be relying on them because it tastes so good, you'll want to eat it. It's not like another protein bar that you try, you know, the beginning of every January when you make your healthy resolution and you eat it. It's like, oh my God, I'm tasting a chalk eraser right now. This is horrible. No. Built Bar, covered in 100% real chocolate. So chewy. And it's also, well, you're clearly eating the flavor that's on the package. This isn't like one of those waxy protein bars that just, you bite into it, sawdust comes out, and it says like, powerful chocolate chunk. Like, no, Built Bar's awesome. And they also have 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, just 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 whopping grams of sugar, and a dozen net carbs. Even better yet, Built Bar wants to save you some money. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, that's one word, LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. One more time, it's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Also, need you to not just get up, but get upside. Yeah, we'll work on that transition. Hey guys, this is Matt Sheehan. That's right. With an incredible app for everyone who buys gas that you guys just need to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code SCORE and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Not bad. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash, and there's no catch. The cash gets added right back to your account, and you can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, e-gift card to Amazon, and other brands. Just download the free Upside app, the free Get Upside app, Get Upside, and use promo code SCORE to get 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code SCORE at the Get Upside app. And before getting into Spartans versus Nebraska ball, hey, just want to thank you for making Locked On Spartans your first listen every single day here in the Locked On Podcast Network. Now let's talk about this game here tonight, 7 p.m. Big Ten Network for those not going, or if you want to go if you're anywhere remotely close to the area, and of course if the weather holds up. Now, there's plenty of tickets available on the website still because it is the Nebraska ball Cornhuskers, that's right, traveling to East Lansing to take on our Michigan State Spartans. You can probably see why there's tickets available for this game. Nebraska, not necessarily full steam ahead in the Fred Hoiberg era. 6-8 overall in the season, 224th in the net rankings, and not a single win worth writing home about unless you're just really fired up about beating the Kennesaw State, whatever their nickname is. They're 0-3 in Big Ten play. However, and this might be their biggest win of the season, not a win at all, but just going to overtime against Ohio State, who is, of course, a fine team, really good team, actually, down there in Columbus. But they're also Nebraska, that is. Nebraska is also a team so bad that they let Michigan beat them by 35 earlier this year. And Michigan, oh my, I'm not going to say anything else because I don't want to jinx anything that's going to take place Saturday just yet. Let's start with the good, the things that Nebraska does. Then we'll move on to decent and then just outright bad things they do and painting a picture of how Nebraska got to where they are today, which is, again, a 6-8 team with truly no wins that are even, worth highlighting right now. The good. Hey, Nebraska, they are first place in one category in the Big Ten. And unfortunately, it's not a category that us State fans necessarily want to hear about. And it's their steals per game. They get 8.1 steals per game. They have the number 4 turnover margin in the conference. For reference, Michigan State has the 11th best turnover margin in the conference. And as us MSU fans know, not just this year, it's the years past. And, well, hell, I feel like we talk about this every podcast, every preview, because turnovers is always an issue for Michigan State, and it can flare up at any given time. It looked okay against Oakland and not turning the ball over too much. It looked like they tightened it up ever since getting back from the Bahamas, but Another 15 turnover performance against Northwestern, and now you start to think, oh great, these are back in our lives. Well, oh great, a team that's really good at turning the other team over is walking into Breslin Center. Okay, let's see what else I have written down under my good category for Nebraska, and getting 404 error not found. Okay, let's move on to decent. 12.6 turnovers per game is what Nebraska averages on offense. Okay, that's a lot, but it's a tick above average in the nation, so that they do a fairly somewhat barely decent okay job at holding on to the ball. I don't know. Listen, this is really how much I had to grasp for anything here to shine any light on Nebraska. And before I go any further, let me knock on wood so I don't jinx us into a 17-point home defeat in front of the Izzone alumni crowd. Because we're going to move on to the bad section of what Nebraska has not been doing well at all this season. And it's offense. And it's rebounding. Offense, okay. 210th in the country in offensive efficiency. It gets worse. They shoot 27.9% from three-point land, and they shoot kind of a healthy amount, 25 three-point attempts per game. Their true shooting percentage is 198th in the country, and once again, I feel like this is a recurring theme while doing these preview podcasts, is Michigan State is playing a horrendous defensive rebounding team. They've played a few teams very recently that aren't too great at grabbing the ball on the defensive glass. And welcome Nebraska to that club as well, because they only grab 69% of defensive rebounds for a very nice ranking of 307th in the country. Oh my goodness gracious. Could be another prime for the picking opportunity for second chance points for the Michigan State Spartans, as they've done, well, time and time again in the last few weeks against these poor defensive rebounding teams. Offensive rebounding for the Huskers. Do they get second chance points? Do they get second chance opportunities? Not so much. They grab 20.2% of their offensive misses. That is 322nd in the nation. Sorry, that's a very high number to say out loud. I had to drag that one out of my mouth there. Defensive rebounding, not great at all. Offensive rebounding, even somehow worse. So in full, if you want the short, condensed version of what to expect from Nebraska tonight, they refuse to rebound. That should go great in Big Ten basketball play. They cannot shoot. Well, so far this season, of course, cream can rise to the top eventually, or water can find its level, or whatever analogy you want to use. That can happen, but okay, we're starting to get 14 games into the season. We're pretty much halfway through the year, and they're sitting at a lowly 28% shooting from three so far. But they could cause some turnovers here. Really quick, just to highlight two players on their team that we are going to be keeping our eye on. It's Bryce McGowans, first and foremost. He is their 6'7" freshman guard, fringe five-star kid. Really a really nice get for Fred Hoiberg and that staff to get McGowans on campus. Leading the team in scoring at 15.8 points per game. However, it's quite a bit of shots to get there. He's taking about 12.6 shots per game to get to that number of averaging just about 16 points per game. Right now, shooting it 25% from behind the arc this season, and shoots quite a bit from behind the arc as well. But again, he is a freshman, and yes, while he was a highly rated freshman, maybe this is something that we look at to our own team for. Like, Max Christie came here as a five-star freshman, kind of struggled to shoot the ball early in the season, but I think, okay, knock on wood one more time, has seemed to get better at shooting the three-point ball. Maybe McGowan starts to turn the corner. Maybe he starts to get an uptick on that 25% shooting from behind the arc. Would love if that did not happen at Breslin Center, though. In front of what should be a more fired-up crowd than Michigan State has played in. Front of the last few games as the high point game, of course. A little wonky, non-conference opponent that you want to beat by 1,000. Those are never games that, you know, are going to be remembered for their energy. And again, another weird game against Northwestern. Northwestern, where you're playing in front of 16 people, seemingly. And yeah, so I think as an alumni, as they usually do, they'll bring it. It'll be high energy today, and I think this is what this team needs. And really, just one more player, sorry. Alonzo Verge. Alonzo Verge is another guy that you want to watch from Nebraska. 6'3" guard, transfer from Arizona State, and he's a fine player. He will be handling the ball most of the game for Nebraska. 5.8 assists per game. Really strong defender as well. So this will be a nice little battle here for Tyson Walker. But he's not really a great shooter, and he does turn the ball over a fair amount of times. Right now, he's averaging 3.7 turnovers per game. So yes, that is what we are looking at for Nebraska ball. BartTorvik.com has this pegged as a 86-66 win for your Michigan State Spartans. That would be awesome if we could just not have a close game in the final stretch where Gabe Brown has to rescue everyone again. But yeah, that's life in the Big Ten. It's a wonky season. It's kind of crazy. But luckily, we're not one of the teams that are wondering why is everything going so bad. So far, Michigan State, hey, things are going a lot better than we expected. So let's keep it rolling tonight, fellas. And we'll keep basketball talk rolling in the next segment. But first, I just need to talk to you fine folks about NetSuite. That's right. Dramatic buildup for that one. You guys like that? This is it. It's a putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Oh, no. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite, it's the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you could automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of the competition. 93% of survey businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. So join the over 28,000 businesses already using NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program to those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. So head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. That's netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. All right, we are going to bridge together some football talk and basketball talk all in the same mailbag question. Once again, lockedonspartans@gmail.com is the place to find me. And Christopher Ellenberger writes in a very simple, straight-to-the-point question. What are your thoughts on Malik Carr and Keon Coleman playing round ball? Of course, football players, but they were also brought here with the understanding that they could get themselves a spot on the basketball team as well. Keon Coleman had plenty of offers from other schools, like Kansas, for example, is going to let him play both sports. Tulane was one, and the list goes on and on. And Malik Carr, no slouch of a basketball prospect himself when he left high school. Now, Christopher wants to know my thoughts on these two student-athletes, these scholars playing basketball. But who cares about my thoughts right now? Let's get to Tom Izzo's thoughts, because he was actually asked about this after practice on Monday. And this was a practice that Keon and Malik were not in right now. So, and there's a lot of quotes from Tom Izzo here, so bear with me here as we hear from the greatest basketball coach to ever grace this state here. Okay. Quote, to be honest with you, Mel and I were going to talk after they got back. We got to see what's best for them first. By far, what's best for them. And then we'll look at what's best for us and the players, of course. But first, it'll be the football team and the players themselves. He goes on to say, it's not like anybody's going to come out here and start on our program right now. But in some ways, there's always some help that's needed. When you've got a lot of injuries or a lot of guys that could get sick, it's nice to have some guys that could step in, especially on the scout team and this and that. And in closing, he says, but we'll see. Mel and I will probably talk in the next day or two. They needed a little time off. It's no secret or nothing. It's just what's best for the football program and what's best for the players. Okay, so that concludes what Tom Izzo had to say about that, and I'll go ahead and just spill whatever I have to say about this right now, so strap in, everyone. That's right. Listen, like, I'm not accusing MSU of, like, doing anything shady or anything, but, like, just from the start, I did wonder how legitimate it was that both these kids would be playing football and basketball. Like, was this anything, like, per se, I don't know, said to them just to sweeten the pot of coming here? Maybe, perhaps, and I really wonder, I would love to go into the minds of Malik Carr and Keon Coleman to see, like, if they thought that they were going to come here and, like, start alongside these players, too, or if this was a thing where they kind of knew that they were walk-ons as well, or kind of what Izzo maybe alluded to, scout team players here. I'm not sure about that, but what I do know is that the quote from Izzo actually paints a picture of, no, maybe this wasn't, you know, anything nefarious or shady to try to get these football players up to East Lansing. Because this is a very, very unique situation that we have in these trying times, of course, of COVID. But Yeah, it's the fact of the matter that, once again, COVID is part of our basketball season once again. It just hit the team not too long ago against High Point when they were missing some key players in Marcus Bingham and Max Christie. Pierre Brooks, I believe, is out, and Steven Izzo as well. But it could flip just like that again. Tomorrow you could have five players out. This weekend against Michigan you could have a handful of players out. It's not special to the Big Ten or Michigan State or anyone. It's, once again, sadly a nationwide problem. But and look, like, but before the season even started, I really questioned what the role of Carr or Coleman was going to be should they join the team. Like, I was never in the camp, and you can go back to any podcast where we talked about this a year or two ago, I was never in the camp that Coleman would be logging, you know, 15 minutes a night, or that Malik Carr would be doing backdoor alley-oops in the first half of a conference game. Like, I think the expectations for fans should be very low to see these guys. But now they are joining a team in the middle of a season that is going pretty well for Michigan State. So now you got to wonder, like, how much are they really needed? But again, injuries happen, COVID happens. So I think in the end, should they join the team, it'll be this. It'll be 50%, maybe just to say that they held up their end of the bargain for committing here. And by they, I mean the coaching staff for letting them play basketball. And 50% because, well, yeah, extra bodies, like Tom Izzo just said, would be nice. I just wonder now, from the player's perspective, if it is a scout team thing, if they're really going to go along for that, or if that's just kind of the writing on the wall of, maybe let's focus on football because that is where their future is. And so, long story short, I'll believe they'll play basketball for the Michigan State Spartans when I see it. I was always skeptical from the beginning. And after, well, and listen, this is very early on in their careers. It's not like they lit up the world in football on paper. But with the eye test, you can see something special with these guys, right? This is where their athletic future is. It is in football. But hey, sometimes the athletic future doesn't mean everything. And but if they want to play basketball for Tom Izzo, and both the coaches, Izzo and Tucker, were, so to speak, allow them to do it, go for it. If they do, listen, I don't expect that we'll see them play in a game that's within 30 points. And if they are playing in a game that's within 30 points, it's, well, because we got some bodies out. And instead of, no offense to the walk-ons, it might be better to have these guys, these athletic specimens, filling in for an injured or sick team than whatever the alternative is. So those are my thoughts. I guess my thesis is that if you're out there expecting Keon Coleman and Malik Carr to run some pick-and-roll action or to be throwing alley-oops to each other in a seven-point game down at Assembly Hall sometime in February, I got a hard time believing that. We might have to be waiting for a 40-point blowout. Oh, maybe this Saturday. Who's to say? Knock on wood. Nope, said I wouldn't jinx anything. You already know that we will be back tomorrow breaking down the Nebraska game. And, of course, any questions that you guys have, lockedonspartans@gmail.com. We got one question that kind of takes a look at recruiting, what we saw in the Michigan-Georgia game. And I think that there's definitely some relevance to the situation that Michigan State is in, or just really the Big Ten as a whole, when it comes to, well, how do we stack up in the national picture after that just happened in Miami? So we'll hit that tomorrow, most likely as well, unless something else breaking happens. Hey, Xavier Henderson, you got a big decision. Want to make it anytime soon? If you do, we'll be here to talk about it. And, of course, anything that breaks with Michigan State, guys. So just want to thank you for making Locked On Spartans your first listen every single day. Now go on with your bad self and make Locked On Bets your second listen. That's right, guys. Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. That's Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling, free and available on all platforms. All right, guys. Hey, let's have a great night. Go Green.